ESPN Radio 93.5,
95.3. Well, it's always a pleasure Monday and Friday to grab the head of the Common Sense Party, Mike Ditka from Chicago this morning. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you?
Well, we're fine. Still kind of sorting through the election and, of course, the president's first press conference in what turns out to be 8 months. And yes, there was a Benghazi question from Fox News. Other than that, man, I just thought it was softball stuff, and particularly Christy Parsons, Chicago Tribune, which will be a YouTube viral when she was gushing about the president's reelection, and they were laughing and joking, and it was just unbelievable. I've just never seen anything like this. Is a press conference.
Well, Steve, when you win and you're all celebrating your victory, and the press was part of it, yeah, you're not gonna get too serious yet. There's a little celebratory mood, yeah, and I don't blame them. They had a good team.
Yeah, to the victor go the spoils, guys. Yeah, it's not too complicated.
The media is part of that team, and yeah, they were a key part, I thought, and they won, and they're excited about it.
All right, issue one.
But the only thing is, and it's fine, you know, we got 4 more years, and that's fine. But somewhere along the way, people have to open their eyes to the fact that we've got a major problem in this country, a major, major problem with this fiscal cliff and all this other stuff going on. We've got a major problem. Now, you can joke about it. You can blame it on the former administration, blame it on the next administration, blame it on anybody you want to. But what are you going to do about it? What is your solution? Raise taxes? Is that the solution? How about cutting spending? How about having a comprehensive plan between both parties for change? There's nothing going on in Washington. They're going to sit down this morning, and that I would give anything to be in that meeting.
Yeah, I would too. I'll tell you, Mike. I don't think here's the plan. The president's going to blame Congress. He doesn't even know what for, but they're not going to come to anything right now. He's picking a fight. The Congress is bowed up. And you know that's the case because what he's proposing on this raising taxes because he promised the American people that he'd do it. First of all, none of the other promises matter, so why would that? And second, we've talked about how little money that is. Won't solve anything. And forget the negative part about the jobs it'll cost. So that's not a serious offer. That's not even a serious proposal. Then the Republicans are sitting there going, okay, we're going to hold the line. Well, they can't. So we haven't done anything. We haven't solved anything. And we still, you're right. There is
exactly. It's gridlock. It's really an embarrassment to this country to have people in office in the Senate and the House and the Oval Office that don't understand it. Let's do what's right for the country once in a while instead of for a party. I mean, this is getting pathetic to me.
Well, there's no consensus on anything, is there?
Well, I think the consensus is we're spending too much and taking in too little. That's all we agree on. Mm-hmm. But we've also agreed to kind of watch and see what happens.
Yeah.
That's what's worrying me because what could happen is like Leonardo DiCaprio on the deck of the Titanic. This could really be bad.
Yeah, it could be a wildfire. There's no question about it.
All right. So what would you, Mike? What would you tell John Boehner?
Well, I think that even he has to, you have to back off and find some common ground somehow. I mean, there's got to be some common ground. I don't know what it is. I'm not an expert on this stuff. But my God, I mean, if we go down this road for 4 more years, guys, it's going to be very, very, very bad. And you all know that. I know that. Most of the American people know that. And the media knows about it. So why aren't people demanding that we stop this crap in Washington and get together and do something?
Well, and I think what Boehner's going to do eventually, I mean, they're going to argue, we're going to hear about it, but they're going to have to raise the taxes. They're going to have to do what the president wants to do. Now, that won't do anything. Then what happens, Mike? They're going to raise the debt ceiling. We're just going to go up to $20 trillion.
So the president, let's just say the president gets in there and behind closed doors says, you lost, I won.
Well, and that's what he's going to do.
So then they go ahead and say, okay, we're going to raise it, whatever you want, 3.9% from 35 to 39, 6 or 9 or whatever it is. And then they do essentially that. They acquiesce because they're kind of in a corner. So they do that. What happens 12 months from now? Do things improve?
No. No, I think the stock market is going to go down. I think we'll have another recession.
So how does the president displace the blame?
But who's going to challenge him on it, Steve? Well, who's challenging him on it beside the Fox Network? I mean, who else? Fox News. I mean, who's challenging him? Nobody. The media's gone one way. He's a fair-haired boy that can do no wrong right now.
I think.
And the reason for that is people don't have any comprehension or understanding of what the circumstances can be, because we've never been in this problem, because we are the United States of America.
I think that what will happen, Steve, is it'll be obvious that the Republicans have done it again. They've screwed up the country. And the goal now, and I think it'll be the singular goal, is to get the Republicans out of the Congress. Fixing the problem, talking about the problem, come forget about it. Get them out.
Okay.
My opinion.
If they go ahead and raise it on the top 2% and nothing happens, what's the reason nothing happens? We need more time. It's whose fault?
It's the Republicans. But
they went along with
who
you.
Who knows what the reason will be then?
Okay. Well, there'll be a reason. You know that. Yeah. There'll be a reason. There'll be an excuse. You know, and here's the thing. And I don't think anybody really is too offended by I've been fortunate, and somebody says that we're going to raise your taxes, fine. Okay, let's do this. Let's have a sliding tax scale where everybody has some skin in the game. That's all I'm saying. If you make under $5,000, you pay X amount of whatever it is. I don't care what it is. If you pay 10 cents on a dollar, I don't care. Pay something. And I think everybody has to have some skin in the game. I really do. And you want to gradually escalate it all the way up to where you say 40%. Fine, I understand all that. But then when you add the 40% of federal tax onto what you're paying state, local, otherwise, come on, guys, it's not very much to take home.
Yeah, and it gets to where the incentives just go to, well, give me money, and I don't want to work hard either. And
we do that. We've already done that. We say, well, you and I and some other guy who work hard or have a job who earn money are paying for a lot of other people because of the entitlement program.
Yeah, it's Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, ESPN Radio, 93.5, 95.3 at 7:41 this morning.
Former CIA Director General David Petraeus is confronted on Capitol Hill by lawmakers for the first time since his sudden resignation a week ago. And his visit comes the morning after some of those lawmakers watched a half-hour-long video put together by the intelligence community that uses some video from a drone in addition to several other sources and shows the U.S. consulate and the CIA annex in Benghazi before, during, and after the attack on 9/11.
All right, General Petraeus went through some sort of a dock entry at the Capitol to avoid all the cameras. A source has already said that he has said he knew within 24 hours it was terror. So why then, 3 days later, was he doing a testimony in front of Congress, not under oath, by the way, that suggested the video? Apparently, the general has also said he doesn't know who put out the narrative for the video and doesn't know how that all worked. But the fact of the matter is they all knew it was terror within 24 hours. There's some questions that need answered. Will we get the answers, Mike?
No. I don't think you will. I'm sorry. I just don't think we're going to get the answers I think that there are people here's the thing, four lives are lost. Okay, somewhere there ought to be some way that you would explain what happened. Now, you can just say this and this and that. And right now, anything you say, anything the government says, people believe. The majority of the people believe anyways, because that's what they want to believe. And that's the government. They don't want to lie to them. I mean, to me, it's a no-win situation to get the truth, to me.
And I don't know how it'll all pan out, Steve, but it's a mystery to me because I don't understand what was gained by just not telling the truth. I still haven't.
In the beginning,
I just don't get the motive there. So that's disturbing. But it's more of a problem that.
They dropped the ball, John. That's why they dropped the ball. The surveillance camera showed all the stuff. They dropped the ball. Period. And they didn't take it as a serious threat, and it became a serious threat. They dropped the ball. Then they were trying to push it under the carpet. And that's stupid. Hey,
but
everybody makes a mistake.
I said yesterday, the president comes out Monday, the week of Thanksgiving, and he says, we dropped the ball, and then we tried to shove it under the carpet. It's a story for 2 days, and it's over.
Yeah.
The media's not going to cover this.
They cover it that way, and they'll say, what a great man to admit that.
No,
he'll
say, what a courageous man.
So, and that would be the end of it.
That would be the end of it.
But exactly. I mean, it's kind of simple. I mean, and And then the media will jump on it. They will be covering it.
Yeah, exactly.
No, they'll be covering it. I just said that, you know, he'll get up there and say, we dropped the ball. We left these guys to die. We didn't do a good job. I covered it up. And they'll go, aw.
Yeah, that'd be, well, no, that'd be. Aw. And then in addition to Abe Lincoln, he'll be like George Washington. I cannot tell a lie.
Yeah.
I cut down.
Listen,
the...
But the only way I see him getting in trouble from this is to continue to not be forthright and say everything.
I'm like clean. Mike, though. I don't see any way he can get in trouble for it.
I agree right now. This is the fair-haired boy. I mean, it's
but I mean
he
these
does,
these
okay.
are but back at Watergate, which I don't think was as serious as this. Back at Watergate, everybody, Republican, Democrat, saw right from wrong.
Well, they didn't think lying was okay in 1974, a public lying. Now, but Clinton proved it's fine, and now everybody does it.
Who the liar is?
Well, exactly. What has happened to our country, Mike? We are slipping, man.
Well, but it'll keep slipping until we start understanding that it is slipping, and we don't seem to think that right now.
Mike, that's it. You just nailed it. I think until you realize you have a problem, really realize
you
it.
Don't have a problem. Yeah, that's right. Until you realize,
and then there's no fixing it. Yeah.
Well, or you are. We're dumbing down so much that now anything, if you're aware of anything in this country, you are now in the minority.
Well, that's debatable. Steve.
I don't know how our education here, we're not.
I'm just saying we're more 50-50. I got to tell you that this election was interesting. Of course, you've heard a mandate, but I'm not sure if you really went back and had a vote by vote ability to check. I don't know who even won the election. I have a little bit of a concern about the integrity of our voting system, Mike. There's just too many stories of 108% here and 140%.
Yeah,
here.
It's a little interesting.
We're split right down the middle.
We know that the man who won is the people, the man who that I would have to say that the majority of the media and everything else wanted to win. And so, you know, it's a better world now, you know. And I'm being facetious, but, you know.
But, you know, too, you know, I'm the president. He's got a second term. You got to look at, as a leader of the whole country, he did say that in both campaigns, we have to unite, we have to be one America. And Mike, you've got
there is none of that, there's
and you got 30,
that,
30 groups in 30 states talking about seceding from the union.
Yeah.
So maybe you should look at that, Mr. President, and say I've got to do something better.
Well, would he possibly come toward the middle for legacy's sake to say I have an opportunity, I'm not running again, maybe I can bring it together and be a great president at the end of this thing?
Of course you could. But
just like I was talking to my friend down in California yesterday, and he's telling about the new tax thing they're doing or whatever. It's something crazy. And I'll tell you, eventually, I mean, California might be a nice place to live, but eventually they're going to lose a lot of their population over this, and especially the population that is instrumental in the success of that state, the people with money.
All right, BP.
Oil giant BP has agreed to plead guilty for the massive 2010 Gulf oil spill.
I know it was a criminal act. You know, everybody did. They did things they wasn't supposed to do.
The company has to dole out a record $4.5 billion. In addition, three BP employees were also charged, two of them with manslaughter. And more money may be heading to the Gulf. A federal judge is deciding whether to approve an estimated $8 billion settlement between BP and the businesses and individuals who say they were harmed by the spill.
All right, criminal or accident, Johnny?
It's an accident. That's just hysteria. The damage done was overblown. $8 billion to the businesses that were damaged. You might have had $1 billion, maybe two, but it's just you got to get out of it. And BP's doing the right thing in terms of a business going forward. If they have the money, just get everybody off your back and move on. And of course, people are taking advantage of that to the maximum.
Sure. It's another reason not to have to go back to work.
But it's also just this political thing, Mike, and to call it a criminal act. They were trying to get oil, and the guys out there made a mistake. And and they made several.
A criminal
it's not
act.
A criminal.
That's
it's
an intent. You're intending to do.
Yeah. Absolutely ridiculous. Yeah.
Well, Eric Holder made the announcement yesterday and talking about charging these guys.
Now, if you want to talk about criminal, you know what I think about the attorney general. Yeah. But I'm going to tone that down, Steve, because, you know, he is the Attorney
General. Yes, he is. So. That's exactly right. He is the Attorney General. All right, so BP moves on. What does this do to the oil and gas field, Johnny? Anything? Do we get by this thing? Is it open up at all? What do you see?
Well, it's been opening up, and I think we're getting more permits. It slowed to trickle, and now we're getting drilling permits everywhere. Romney was right when he said, you've cut the permits in half on federal lands. About 50% of the permits we were getting have been coming out of this administration. But there's been a lot of drilling, like in Midland, Texas, where they're doing the fracking. It's going crazy. It's like another 40s oil boom because they figured out a way to get this oil.
So it's always been there. We just didn't know how to get it.
Exactly.
Okay.
So they're going back, and we are going to be producing more oil. So that if we're allowed to continue to produce our own oil, things will look better and better on that front.
Awesome. Well, that's good news. So maybe fuel prices moderate.
If we're allowed to produce.
Why wouldn't it?
Well, because they've stopped us in the federal lands we've had. The regulations are coming. There's anti-carbon fuel still. That hasn't changed. And we have to compromise in that arena as well. We have to be allowed to get this stuff. So far, so good as far as that front.
All right. What has to be a major, major concern for the entire world?
We need to strengthen and to try to achieve peace with the legitimate part of the Palestinian Authority, I mean Mahmoud Abbas and his group. I believe that there is chance to achieve peace with them and simultaneously to act when needed against Hamas and against those that are not willing to accept our right to exist in the region.
Not accept our right to exist. From Israel, Hamas has lobbed rockets to Tel Aviv, which is a real red line. They are poised for war. This thing is a powder keg, Mike, isn't it?
I would say, you don't push, but don't shove. I mean, eventually they're going to say, hey, enough's enough, and they've already warned about that. And they'll retaliate, and then we have another war in the Middle East. That's what's going to come down to.
And that's a sensitive deal there. Now, yeah. I'll tell you, it's always been a powder keg in a certain way, and we've managed to kind of, muddle our way through for the last 30 or 40 years. And in this latest era where the whole Middle East is kind of rocked, we have to look at it again. And I don't know, again, going back to our role in it, who's there to help and how much confidence the leadership in Israel has in the leadership in the United States. That's a key point, because if they're a little nervous, they may make decisions they otherwise wouldn't make. So, another area to watch, Steve.
Yeah, well, and I think Thomas Friedman, New York Times, pointed out that when the U.S. was in Iraq, yes, they had all kinds of civil wars, but they didn't let it spill outside the border. They contained it. They essentially guided it. And to where Iraq is, I don't know if you'd call it stable, but certainly better than some of these other countries. And then what happens? Are we going to get a united Islam brotherhood? Are we going to have a real power for the first time in 300 years in that region?
I'm not seeing that. I can tell you, it's interesting you mentioned Iraq, because my man Dan Sweet was in Australia, and they had a group, and one guy from Iraq was there, and Dan asked him, hey, how is Iraq? He's an Iraqi. And he said, it's the best it's ever been since I was born over there. Finally, we're not worried about the government just killing you if you disagree, or maybe killing you because they made a mistake because they thought you disagreed.
Wow.
And no, it's bad, he said, but it's never been better. So that's interesting. You won't hear that on the news.
Well, that's because of Barack Obama. It's not because of George Bush.
Well, it's just because of the Americans, went in. And, of course, there's still a lot of debate over whether that move was right.
Right.
But that's just we don't appreciate, Mike, our freedom. I think that's one of our problems.
Well, we take it for granted.
Exactly. John.
It's not a matter of appreciating. It's just taken for granted that this is the way it's always been. It will always be this way. We live in this country, and it's never going to change. Well, it could change.
And people want to. They're entitled to a second car now, or whatever it is, whatever the entitlement is, and it's owed. And you don't realize that some people don't even think they have the right to exist, literally.
Yeah, right.
And that's. That's a freedom we do take for granted. Yeah. I think we should be very thankful for what we've got here,
well,
Steve.
Thanksgiving upon us, to be very thankful for our blessings and to not take them for granted. Final few minutes, Jay Cutler might be out for Monday night at San Francisco. That would not be good for the Bears, Mike.
Well, I like the other kid a lot. I really do think he can play. I don't think there's a problem there. It was like the game last week. They were two good teams. I wish the field would have been better. Houston's a very good football team, guys. To lose to Houston is no big embarrassment. But, guys, people have to understand, You cannot win in a National Football League when you score 6 points. Now, I don't care. You can blame the other team's defense, the field, your offense, whatever. You got to score more than 6 points. And, I mean, I understand the other team only got 13, but I'm just telling you that the Bears played good enough to win a football game that they didn't win. But that happens to a lot of teams, I mean. So, I mean, it's going to be tough now. Without Cutler, it's going to be tough. But they have to, the first thing they got to do is stop Frank Gore.
Yeah.
Because exactly that's what Jim's going to do. Well, he's going to pound the football on him.
I think.
And then go play action.
I think you're right about Campbell, and he didn't have any practice thrown in there like that.
Not at all. You know, AK was all, I mean, this kid, I thought he showed pretty darn good poise out there myself.
So, but does Alex Smith get to play? Because he was in the same boat.
I think he will, John. I think he probably will start. I don't know. You know, I don't know if that's right or wrong right now. I know the rules seem to be a little vague. You know, if you get a concussion, you've got to miss the next week, period. And then I think the other thing, and the commissioner's trying to protect players, they got to get this independent doctor in there to examine these people. Because if you're a team doctor, it's logical. You want the guy back on the field for the team.
Hey, why don't you let the NFL let Johnny invent a spongy helmet to where all this would go away? There's ways to do it.
Well, John, and you bring up a good point because a lot of the problem is the helmet. There's no question. It's become a weapon. And, I'm not going to get into this. Well, you can't. You know, it's become a weapon. I don't want to hear it. I know what I wore when I played. I'm just telling you what, the helmet's become a weapon. People have no fear. You strike with your head. That's why.
Well, the other thing, too, Mike, is if you're, and I wouldn't know, but if you are 6 foot seven, And you're running after a quarterback who's 6'3". It's for life or death almost. They're playing a game hard. How do you not hit? How do you control that your helmet can collide?
You can't aim where you're going to hit all the time.
And the guy's making a quick move.
No, you can't. You just can't do it. I mean, if you do, you're going to legislate hitting out of football. You're going to legislate football out of football.
Yeah.
Then you make it a different sport.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what makes the sport what it is what it is, and it's a dangerous sport.
Yeah.
And that's why these guys get paid pretty good money, and that's why if they're smart, the first thing they do, we'll hire a financial advisor and put the money away, save it, put themselves on a budget, and quit worrying about the big houses, cars, jewelry, and all that
stuff. So you wouldn't put a spongy helmet because it'd take away the kind of the barbarian aspect of it?
No, but here's what it'll do. You take the face mask off. What are you going to do?
Ooh.
You're going to stick your face in there?
Ooh.
If you got no face mask, you're going to tackle more. What the game was told, why you wear shoulder pads? To tackle with your shoulders, your arms. I mean, people have done this for ages. And then it became a thing where they started leading with their head. Guys, listen, I mean, when I played the game, I'm serious, there weren't that many people that ever stuck their head in there initially.
Well,
that came later.
You barely had face masks.
You tackle with your arms and shoulders.
And you know, Mike, too, look at rugby. They don't wear anything. And they, it's a tough sport. It hasn't got like football because they don't have that equipment. I will say I've noticed, and I don't know what you'd say about this, but I have noticed that the leading with the head has improved since they've been calling all these
players.
Well,
players. And exactly. But, again, it's like the point you just made. Can you control where you hit that person? Do you hit him in the shoulder, in the chest, in the head? You know, I mean, sometimes it's a little hard.
I tell you what, you take the screwdriver and take those face masks off, you change that game because those guys are pretty civilized off the field and pretty well off and a lot of money. They wouldn't want their face smashed.
No, but I will say Stevie J was talking to Billy Kilmer one night, Mike. He didn't have very many teeth left.
Well, I mean, none of them did in the beginning. Bill played for years with just a single bar.
We saw Billy Kilmer in New Orleans at Al Hertz Nightclub way back in the 70s. I said, Billy, why do you wear one bar? And he'd had a lot to drink. He said, because I'm tough.
Yeah, he's a piece of work. Him and I played together in the All-Star games and the college All-Star game, and we had a lot of fun. He's a good man.
Hey, Mike, we'll leave it there. Call you Monday. We'll watch you all weekend on ESPN.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Mike. Bye-bye. That's Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, live ESPN 93.5, 90.